May it please the court, my name is Christina Gomez, bar number 36026, and I represent the Delta County Board of County Commissioners. I will be arguing on behalf of the commissioners and the hostellers who are the applicants in this case. With me at council table is Brandon Jensen, who represents the hostellers and may be presenting argument on their behalf if needed. There's only one question that this court needs to address in this case, and that is whether the commissioner's decision to approve two applications to construct egg farms in rural areas of Delta County was supported by competent evidence. The administrative record in this case is extensive, with multiple hearings, various comments, photos, and expert reports. The evidence was conflicting, particularly as to the compatibility of the egg farms with the existing neighborhoods and the alleged health impacts of the one farm that was constructed while the proceedings were ongoing. But it was the role of the commissioners, not this court or the trial court, to weigh that conflicting evidence, to decide issues of credibility, balance the competing interest, factor in the importance of agriculture, and ultimately decide whether or not to approve the applications. The commissioners here did consider all that evidence and weigh the competing interests, and their decision to approve the egg farms with 16 conditions to address the neighbors' concerns is supported by substantial evidence and should be affirmed. I'll start just with the ultimate findings of the commissioners that are at issue in this case. Of course, it has to do with two applications, but I'll address both collectively to the extent that there are overlapping issues there. The ultimate findings that the commissioners made as to both applications were two. First, that the developments were a reasonable use of the property and upon compliance with the conditions would be compatible with the existing neighborhoods. And second, that the anticipated impacts could be mitigated by compliance with the conditions that the commissioner set forth. Now, those findings and all the other findings that the commissioners made leading up to the ultimate findings are, of course, reviewed under the Rule 106 standards that we elaborated on in our brief. And shortly here, I'll just summarize that it's not a review of the trial court's decision here. It's going back to the commissioner's decision itself and determining, is there competent evidence to support it? I'll say what the standard is for. If it's not competent, it means it's so devoid of evidentiary support that the only way to explain it is an arbitrary and capricious exercise of authority.
Let me ask you a question about the meaning of competent evidence as it applies here. You yourself just said there was evidence on both sides.
Correct.
If the commissioners only addressed the evidence in favor of giving the permit and didn't deal with the evidence, the contrary evidence, such as it was, does that meet the standard of supplying competent evidence? Put another way, did Judge Patrick say, you seem to have disregarded these points, and he has a number of subparagraphs in his opinion that mostly other summaries them about the health or the air quality, and he seems to be saying you disregarded these points. If in fact they didn't address those points in disregard, there is evidence supporting what they did, but they disregarded the contrary evidence, does that meet the standard of competent evidence? If so, is there a case that says that gives us guidance on that?
I guess I'll have two responses to that. The first is, I do believe that the commissioners did address that alternative evidence. I mean, there are a few times in the hearings where they indicated there's contrary evidence here, and they looked at, there are these allegations of impacts, but look, there was this plateau study, and kind of highlighted all the evidence on the other side. That's the one answer to it. The second is, I don't recall seeing a case specifically as to how you would address that point, but the way the standard is expressed, it's not what the commissioners have to do with the evidence. It's, is there evidence to support the result that they came to? Let me say one third thing here, which is that the issue of where all of this alternative evidence came in as to whether there are any adverse health impacts from the first farm that was in operation. And at the end of the day, what the commissioners decided was the issue of whether there was compatibility. That doesn't mean that there have to be no adverse effects. I mean, I believe that's the same that the trial court seemed to be applying and that the plaintiffs have been applying. But the master plan and the RSD nowhere say there may not be any adverse effects whatsoever.
Ms. Gomez, does the criterion of compatibility with the neighborhood include a consideration of health impacts on nearby residents?
It would include that. I mean, and it lists things like noise levels, odors, fire hazards, air quality. Mm-hmm. Certainly, if the air quality and those other things were causing health impacts, then that could potentially be a concern. Obviously, what the county did was commission the report by Plateau. I mean, an independent expert basically came in and looked to see if there actually was any between any emissions and these alleged health impacts, and determined, first of all, that the emissions were normal for an agricultural community, and second, that there was nothing indicating that there could be that the emissions could cause adverse health impacts in normal healthy individuals. And there was other evidence in the record that we've recited at length in our briefs that support that. Other experts who similarly opine that there were no adverse health impacts. The point is that compatibility does not absolutely require that there are no health impacts. So you first of all, you have the contrary evidence that there was no proof of causation here. But second, even if there could be an issue of there were some health impacts, that doesn't make it not compatible. And underlying all this, of course, is the state and county right to farm acts, which the commission has repeatedly cited during the hearings. And they don't directly come into play, I believe, in terms of whether this was a nuisance and all of this stuff, but they certainly indicate we're supporting agriculture here, and the county right to farm act actually specifically says that landowners and residents in in this area have to contend with dust, animal odors, all of these kind of things that go along with agriculture. So that was the background supporting the commissioner's decision.
Is there a mootness issue, Ms. Gomez, given that the operations have ceased?
No, there's not, because they still plan, if the commissioner's decision is reinstated, they still plan to resume that operation and build the other operation.
Okay, thank you.
So at the end of the day, it's the commissioner's role to address those issues of whether there's sufficient evidence, weigh the considerations on both sides, determine if different parties are credible. There certainly was some evidence here indicating that perhaps the plaintiff's complaints of health impacts being caused by the operation were not credible. There are several cases that we've cited in the briefs also indicating that the commissioner's findings can be implicit, and maybe that to some extent indirectly addresses the issue you were asking about, Judge Richmond.
Let me ask another question. Various places they argue that the master plan is advisory and not mandatory or something like that, but you agree, I think, that compatibility has to be shown here. Compatibility is a standard that has to be met, whether it's under the regulations or the master plan. There has to be a showing of compatibility.
I would agree with that. I mean, the way it's expressed,
maybe
in
the lack of non-compatibility, I don't know.
But right, right. I mean, the way it's expressed in the RSD, it says that the applicant and the commissioners shall, weigh the applications, evaluate the applications using these performance standards. Now, there's 21 of them listed in the RSD, but the first of those, of course, they're alphabetical. The first of those is compatibility. So it is something that the commissioners have to address. I would note, though, that the master plan actually says, it has its own statements about compatibility, and it says that compatibility of the new development should be given priority consideration, but also says where there is incompatibility, the property right of the existing use should be given priority. Now, that gives a lot of discretion, but also indicates that even if there's not compatibility, doesn't necessarily mean that you cannot approve. It's just one of those performance standards that you should try to satisfy. Now, here the commissioners found that it was compatible.
And who has the burden of proof on that? The applicant has
the applicant does. But it's just, I mean, the burden of proof is compliance with the regulations. And the regulations don't indicate anything, to the extent that the trial court assumed that that burden included disproving all allegations by neighboring landowners. That was not the burden. It was just showing, providing sufficient evidence to show that this was compatible. And certainly, the commissioners found that it was. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for full counsel in the battle.
Yes, you have just a hair under 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Oh, your co-counsel, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
So you're not going to have just under 5 minutes. Your clock is going to continue running. Go ahead.
Brandon Jensen, on behalf of the Hostetler family, the applicants.
Please restart the clock. Go ahead. Thank you.
My registration number is 32316. I just wish to make one quick comment for the record that I don't believe the record in this case would support an argument that anything had been disregarded by the county commissioners. They heard the complaints from the plaintiffs and various members of the public regarding compatibility, health impacts, air quality, and they commissioned at their own expense an air quality study to determine if those allegations were credible and if in fact they should be followed further upon. And the Director of Environmental Health did a comprehensive review of that study, his own research, and concluded that there were no allegations.
So I'm suggesting there was also a suggestion by Judge Patrick that health complaints were made to, I forget the name of the administrative agency, and none of them were investigated, something to that effect. So in that regard, we could say they were disregarded. And that seems to be one of the points that he made in his opinion.
And one concern that we would have is that that's a separate agency. That's not under the purview of the Board of County Commissioners. So whatever complaints were made to the Department of Public Health or whatever the agency is called is not the Board of County Commissioners. And the most important piece when you're talking about the health effects, the health concerns around the neighborhood, is we can't overlook the fact that there's a member of the Hostetler family who has three children who live immediately adjacent to this facility and have shown no ill impacts whatsoever. There are no employees who work day in and day out inside this facility who have shown no ill impacts whatsoever. There's other members of the Hostetler family who live on the same property, although maybe not immediately adjacent to the facility, who have shown no ill impacts whatsoever. So in our opinion, that the commissioners did not disregard anything, viewed everything as well as they could, and judged credibility in light of the applicants. I'll reserve the remainder of the time for Ms. Gomez Rubano.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a little less than 3 minutes remaining.
Good morning. Earl Rhodes on behalf of the Applebee plaintiffs. The Applebees disagree with the characterization of the case as presented by the appellant. This court should be guided by the decision of the Supreme Court in Churchill versus the University of Colorado. And in that decision, the Supreme Court said that Rule 106A4 is a more expansive inquiry than simply competent evidence in the record. That's the starting point in this matter. But the court went on to note that issues of bias can be significant. There are other issues, more than just competent evidence in the record. We have cited case law, which is the law of this state, that this court should look at misapplication of law in terms of guiding you in this de novo review of this matter.
How does Churchill help you? Did the trial court find bias on the part of the county commissioners?
Well, this court is not bound by the trial court decision. It's merely a guide, and we have argued there is bias. The trial court decision should be affirmed because the county commissioners misapplied applicable law, which is the master plan, and their regulations. We direct your attention to comment M in the under the RSD. Comment M says that a new proposed development shall not harm existing agricultural operation. And it's a shall, it's not a should. And the evidence is clear that this operation was harmed. The agriculture operations going on Dr. Susan Raymond's property. One of the issues in this case is the conditions that the commissioners impose and whether they are substantial. And Judge Patrick, in his ruling, found that the new condition imposed by the commissioners, the last condition as to air quality, was not substantial. And Judge Patrick is correct in this, in his criticism of this matter, because he said that this new condition did not provide for any medical input. And Mr. Lakin, the industrial hygienist hired by the county, in his two reports, said that the information he was providing needed to be reviewed by a medical specialist.
Mr. Rhodes, what is the basis for saying that there has to be medical input? Is there anything in either the master plan or the RSD that speaks to that point?
There is no, to my knowledge, no specific reference to medical input, but both the master plan and the RSD state as their prime objective to promote public health and safety and welfare.
Well, that's one of the objectives. Another objective is to promote agricultural development in Delta County.
Yes, and one of the prime objectives is to preserve the existing agricultural activities in Delta County, for example, Dr. Raymond's property.
So faced with goals or policies that may appear to conflict, how is the county, the Board of County Commissioners supposed to weigh those conflicting goals in making a decision in this case or similar cases?
The county commissioners needed to look specifically at their RSD regulations and abide by the mandatory requirements in those regulations. And where, as in this case, as Judge Patrick found, there was no competent evidence presented by the applicant to disprove the tremendous evidence that the operation of this chicken farm was making people sick and impairing an agricultural operation, they should have denied this request. Have I answered your question?
Yes, you have. Thank you.
The significant point is that the county commissioners, under great pressure in their third decision, imposed a condition as to air quality, but the condition was not meaningful in that it did not provide for input from a medical expert, which is the county's own expert provided, and it did not provide for quantification of the amount of pollution that the chicken farm was putting out. And Judge Patrick is correct that without following an expert's recommendation about a medical review of this matter, and without that condition establishing quantitative standards, that there really are no meaningful conditions imposed, and that the condition did not protect the neighbors as required by the RSD and the master plan, and particularly comment M.
Well, given that the existing RSD, et cetera, didn't have any quantitative standards for medical issues, how was that supposed to be read in? Where was that supposed to come in the process?
Well, Your Honor,
was the judge supposed to just impose that on his own?
The burden of proof is on the applicant to meet the standards provided for in the county regulation.
But if there wasn't any quantitative standard for those types of medical issues, how do we know he didn't meet them?
Well, we know he didn't meet them because everybody's getting sick. There are 19 health complaints of a whole cluster of neighbors. There's graphic evidence in the record of the impact of this chicken farm on Dr. Raymond's property. She's up in the middle of the night vomiting.
I don't disagree that those are issues, but they don't answer my question. how would, I need to figure out if there's no quantitative standards in the RSD and in the regulations, how is there a determination that those have not been met?
Well, one of the things going on in this case is there are no industrial standards as to this. There are no state standards as to this. This isn't...
That's part of my point, counsel. So it seems like the court has imposed some, although they weren't in the existing regulations.
The court has said that the new condition does not protect the health, safety, and welfare of the neighbors, because there's no way to figure out what's going on and whether some engineer writing a plan is going to accomplish anything. The air quality conditions imposed by the county from the start of this was a miserable failure in terms of protecting the neighbors. And so the court simply says it is the burden of the applicant. It's not the burden of the county. The burden's on the applicant to prove that this activity will not harm the neighbors. And the court further said there is substantial evidence that the neighbors were harmed and the property was harmed. And in the absence of any conflicting evidence, this matter should have been denied. And the decision of the commissioners was arbitrary and capricious.
Well, he did not find that the property values were harmed. That the property value issue was resolved, I think.
Well, Judge Patrick ruled against the plaintiffs on the property value issues.
What we're really down to is whether the master plan required that they have to protect the public health and safety. And what you're suggesting is that the air quality plan doesn't meet that standard.
It
or
does.
At least Judge Patrick found it doesn't meet that standard because it doesn't have quantitative numbers for the standard that has to be met, and it doesn't have a medical input into its expertise.
Well, Judge Patrick's order is a guide for this court. This is de novo review. So you make your own conclusions about this. But the record is clear that the operation of this chicken farm was making many of the surrounding neighbors sick. I'd like to address the statement of the hostetlers about the health of the hosteller family. And I'd just like to state for the record my objection to that statement when these people did not testify. And there's no evidence in the record to support this. There's tremendous testimony and evidence in the record about the health concerns of the neighbors. But the three children did not testify. Edwin Hosteller did not testify after the initial hearing. So there's nothing to support that.
Well, this isn't an evidentiary hearing, so we will not rule on your objection.
And I also want to point out that this air quality test is extremely suspect. And then Mr. Nordstrom, the county employee, went out at night and warned Mr. Hostetler that this test was going to come up within a week or so. And this was not done during normal business hours, nor was it described as a normal business activity. And then Mr. Hostetler brought in sawdust, which had not been present in the facility before, in order to minimize the air quality being discharged from the facility. And the county should not be relying on this type of conduct to show that it has expressed great concern. And really, the greater insight as to the concern of the county is that even though Mr. Nordstrom said to Judge Patrick, if there are health concerns, I will investigate, he refused to go talk to 20 people who had filed health complaints. And rather than talking to them, the county came up with this scheme to do this testing, which it knew was skewed, and now comes to you and says, there's conflicting evidence.
Well, Mr. Rhodes, wasn't all of that evidence presented to the Board of County Commissioners at the three different hearings?
Yes.
So wasn't it up to the County Commissioners to weigh that evidence and decide what was more persuasive?
Well, the response to that is Churchill versus the University of Colorado says that the inquiry here starts with the question of competent evidence, but it goes beyond that, and that Judge Patrick in this court is charged with an inquiry as to bias.
But Judge Patrick himself rejected the allegation of bias.
He did, and he focused on the lack of competent evidence in the record to support his decision. Now, the right to farm statute was mentioned here. This is a very odd argument. First of all, there's no record made in the tribunal as to the applicability of the right to farm statute. This is an issue for the hostelers. This is not an issue for the county. The record shows that the Redlands Mesa property of Greg Hosteller is rural residential. It has no agricultural use on it. So this has no applicability. Dr. Raymond's property is agricultural. And so the right to farm statute has no applicability when both parcels are agricultural. This is a Rule 106A4 proceeding. This is not a nuisance proceeding. The county has adopted special regulations, as it's authorized to do, which is Comment M, that new activities shall not harm existing agricultural activities. So, since the issue was not raised, it seems totally inapplicable. It should not be heard today. Now, this court and counsel for the county has focused on the compatibility question. And this is the central question of this case, which is whether an industrial agriculture operation is compatible with the existing uses on both Redlands Mesa and on Powell Mesa. And one answer is that there are no other industrial agricultural uses on either of these places. This is the first use. And so this is the difficulty that the plaintiffs have with the decision of the county, that the county has authorized the injection of a new, more intensive use into these neighborhoods when they did not exist before. And the evidence shows that the 15,000 chickens on the half acre, as compared to the 20 horses on Dr. Raymond's 60 acres, is at a ratio of 500 to 1. And the plaintiffs submit that when a land use activity is making the neighbors sick, it by definition cannot be compatible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your argument. Rebuttal?
I have 4 points I'd like to make, time permitting. The first is going back to some of the initial questions that Judge Richmond asked about the case law and how you apply it, where commissioners may or may not have addressed every piece of evidence that might contradict the findings. And there are, I think the way that the courts have addressed this are in those cases, in particular that we cited in our brief, Odell and CTS, where the courts addressed where findings may not have been explicit. And in particular, this is a Supreme Court case of Odell. The court noted that the Board of County Commissioners in that case apparently had given more weight to one opinion than another. And then again, in the CTS case where this court said apparently the board was persuaded to credit certain evidence over other evidence. So that indicates to me that they don't have to address all the reasons why they reject some evidence, as long as there is contrary evidence that does support the decision that they arrived at. The second point is, in response to, I believe it was a question Judge Terry asked about the complaints not being investigated, and I know that that came up in the argument a moment ago too. There was that allegation that Nordstrom, the health director, didn't individually go to the people who were complaining about health impacts, but what he did is did some inspections of the property, or at least one on the CD3, page 818, there's an indication that he had gone to the farm that was in operation in response to some complaints. In addition, the Plateau report actually was commissioned in response to those complaints. I mean, rather than going individually and requesting medical records or whatever, the health director determined that the most appropriate way that he could address those issues was to have that study performed and see, is there a link between the emissions, or is there a problem with the emissions, first of all, in this facility, but second, is there a link between those emissions?
But there wasn't, the study didn't reach the issue of whether there was a link, because it concluded there was no problem. I mean, the study of air quality, and then to say that that doesn't cause health problems, it seems to be two different issues.
Well, what the Plateau report concluded was that, first, there was not a problem with emissions, but second, there was no indication that the emissions that were there were sufficient to cause health impacts.
It did conclude that.
It did. The third point is just a misquote of Section M of the RSD. Council's indicated that it says development shall not harm.
What page is it on? What page is it?
It's on page 791 in the second CD. That performance standard indicates that development shall not interfere with the normal operation, that there's no preclusion against any harm whatsoever. And then the last point is just, at the end of the day, there were facts, evidence presented on both sides, and it was up to the commissioners to decide that.
Thank you both to all counsel for your arguments and your briefing. We appreciate them very much. The case will now stand submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.